I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. You're like, wait a minute. Am I in a time machine? Did we go back in time? It's Wednesday, and there's a brand new episode of the Autumn Windbags. Well, that's because it's draft week, and we're like, why did we record on Wednesday to have a show come out Thursday that lives for like 5 hours, and then we're doing our every year live first round broadcast Thursday. So it's like, screw it. Let's give you guys more time to watch the episode day early, give you a day and a half to really digest this episode. And like I said, we'll do a live show on Friday. We'll probably do another live show Sunday to complete, or a live show Thursday for the first round. And maybe like a recap show Saturday and Sunday, maybe just Sunday, depending how things go. We'll kind of play it by ear, but make sure you follow us on social media. You can see us, you know, down there and over there, and for like up to minute stuff. But yeah, one day early, we're givers.
You're welcome.
Sporting my Stanley Cup champion LA Kings shirt. It's been a decade, but as a Raider fan, this is the one winning we've been able to do, the one winning I have access to.
Jeez.
I was wondering, your second favorite team of any sport, Trojans football? Is that your number two out of anything? Dodgers maybe?
Yeah, them are the Dodgers, yeah.
Them and Dodgers. I was wondering, like, how many Stanley Cups would the Kings have? Because the Kings are my number two, behind, way, way, way behind the Raiders, but they're my number two. So I'm like, how many Stanley Cups would it take to equal one Raiders Lombardi trophy?
A lot.
And I was like, it would be a lot because one, the Kings won two in the last decade. So that's like, it was amazing and it was great, but I experienced it. I felt it. Raiders haven't won a Super Bowl since I was 6 months old. So it's like that long burn. And like,
every season, it's like going to take every year the Raiders don't win. It's like five more Stanley Cups for the Kings to catch up.
Cause it just adds up.
Yeah. It's tough.
And then Dodgers, right? Like, you know, they're one of the best franchises in baseball. We've had all kinds of championships for them in our lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I was, I think I was 11 years old when they did the 1988. That's the first one I remember. Cause they won in 84, but like I was too young. I remember watching it, but I didn't know what was going on really. And, but man, in 88, that was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. I remember I was sitting in the living room with my brother, and my dad was watching it with us, and Kirk Gibson hit the home run. Oh, game one, that was so sweet. We were like running on, jumping up and down. So good.
And just like, I think of all these like great moments I've had in sports. Like I was able to rush the field at a BYU bowl game, which was amazing. Watch the Kings win in the playoffs, which was amazing, on their way to the cup. It wasn't in the room in the building for the cup, but I went to the playoffs for a win when they did that. Like some cool ones. I'm like, dude, I can't imagine the feeling of watching the Raiders win the Super Bowl. Like I was,
we're going to do a live win back show from the freaking parade.
I was like, just being in the building when the Raiders dropped 63 on the Chargers on Thursday night, just like just being that, I'm like, if this is what fentanyl feels like, I'm gonna become a drug addict. Like I have to. And that was like a quasi meaningless Thursday night game, but it came after putting up zero against the Vikings 5 days later. You know, AP back on track, destroying the Chargers. Like it was just like the perfect mix of everything. And I was just like, oh my god,
pretty freaking sweet, man.
Injected into my veins. That was so sweet.
I'm still kind of salty that you didn't walk up to anybody and ask him any questions. I think that would have been a good bit.
I had like my earbuds in, so, and I was hammered. So to like be able to, that maybe it might have made it better. But like, all right, talking to the mic, and I had to get up like this close to somebody. All right, talk. Soda wants to hear you.
So okay,
rested.
breaking news. We may have an operative at the draft that may or may not be able to hop in during the draft and interview Raider fans live during our live spectacular.
Is it a big titty toe?
I wish. I don't think it is.
Okay.
I mean, I've never met Graphic Raider in person, so I don't know. He's packing some cannons, but
you might have a quality camera like you. Make yourself look like whatever he wants.
Yeah, right. No, he said he would be down to do it. Like, just hop. We give him the link, and he'll just hop in whenever he has somebody like ready to just ask him a question or whatever.
Just do a man on the street.
Yeah, a man on the street type of thing. That'd be pretty sweet.
All right,
because he's gonna do shows like he got an Airbnb out there. Him and Wasted, so they're going to be out there, but they got the round one, they got tickets for, so they're going to be actually there. And the other two nights, they're just going to do shows out there.
Pitching.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see if we can figure it out.
Yeah, it's fly by night. So Tom Telesco did his standard operating procedure pre-draft presser on Monday. We're recording this Tuesday evening on yesterday. And it was like, if you want to watch it, go ahead. It's about 15 to 18 minutes long, and there's a lot of, you know, what's the GM going to say on the eve of, you know, on draft week? You're not going to show your cards or anything. But he did say something that intrigued me a little bit, which did get me thinking. And I'm wondering if you're hearing the same thing I'm hearing, Soto. Take a listen.
Speaking about the information and the newsworthiness, there's talk, you know, do the Raiders trade up? Do they trade down? Have you ruled anything in or out in terms of the trading up part? And based on your history of doing this, what's been the level of engagement, especially from the teams that are ahead of you, in terms of any of those possibilities?
Right. Yeah, news flash. GM says he's open to trading up, moving back, picking a spot. Like, everybody always says the same thing. So, we have a plan right now to go up if we have to and be aggressive with it. We've got a plan if we stick and pick, obviously. And we got a plan to go back if it's within a certain range. It's been normal this year, as like other years. Like, there's been conversations with other teams, but it's probably more general than specific. It really wouldn't get more specific to usually like later in the process, Tuesday, Wednesday, even Thursday, even sometimes when you're on the clock. So, but it's been about the same amount of work that goes into that.
So there has been conversations with other teams, but it's very, very general, which I first thought is like, okay, well, you know, maybe you save yourself some homework and not be so under the gun. But then, of course, you have to see how the draft plays out, right? You can't, you know, hey, I'll trade you, you know, at 10. Well, you don't know who's going to be there at 10. You know, you don't know what's it going to be. So there's that part. And also just how, like, no nonsense Telesco is. Like I said, we can look back and see how he drafted. Like, all right, he likes this position more, or he did this well and drafted not that well, but we didn't follow him like a Charger fan would. So I haven't like got to know him as like a human and kind of gauge how he is. He just seems like just a no nonsense, but normally when I say no nonsense, it's normally like a hard ass. He's just a no nonsense, like it's not worth my time. Like, I'm just gonna go through I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do here. And I know we sometimes butt heads a little bit like this, but he's very less like, he seems like less, we're going to go get our guy, and more, here's our contingency plans. Here's what we want to do. If they go left, this is how we're going to go right. If this team zigs, then we're going to zag. Very, very flexible with how things are going to play out is the vibe I'm getting. Here we are 2 days before the draft.
Well, first off, I want to say he looked pretty freaking put together. He had a little pocket square. He had the black pearl freaking buttons, like looking nice.
Like a kid on the first day of school.
He looking like a pit boss, like one of the old school pit. He just needed a pinky ring.
He looks like a kid that's going that because he's on a new team. It's like he transferred to a new high school. So he's trying to look like he knows he's got it, but he's just trying to look good, you know, make a good first impression.
And shine those shoes, man. Mm-hmm. Well, look, he did say he had a plan to move up. So
and move up aggressively.
Like, yeah, move up aggressively. So he has a plan to do it. It takes two to tango. So I think he wants to move up, but kind of like in between you and I always said move up going rate. Well, the going rate to move up from 13 to 3 is, or 2 or whatever, is going to be 3 first round picks. Mm-hmm. It all depends on what happens on the, I think it's going to be more so the ability to get a partner to trade with and get your the guy you want, as opposed to him not wanting to give up the capital. I think he's willing to give up the capital. I think it's, do you have a buyer, right? He just seems like, yeah, you know, I've done this a bunch of times before, and we went through all these scenarios. And he, and, you know, I listened to the Raider broadcast with like the draft pre-draft special, and he said, "Look, all our work has been done." And I told everybody, don't look at the board anymore. After Friday, the board is done. I don't want us to like keep picking at it and moving a guy up a spot, moving a guy down a spot. We already talked about it. The board's done. So the board's done. The plan's done. Everything's done. All they're doing now is just really quiet, just talking to people, lines of communication, making sure they all have all the right phone numbers. One big thing that he said too was, I want to have all the right numbers for the undrafted free agents that we like.
Yeah,
like I need a number and I need a backup number, and I need a number for your agent and a backup number for your or the agent's assistant. I need to have four numbers for each person. That's what his assistants are doing right now, is making sure all the people that they have kind of slotted at either five round and below, so 5, 6, and 7 and undrafted that they like, they have all the contact info for them. So that's a little extra added little layer that I didn't really think of.
Yeah, and that's shit you pick up out with, you know, a decade of experience as a GM, you know? It's like the little tiny. Because, like, minutes could be super valuable. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you got an undrafted free agent and he's thinking the worst, the agent's like, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to get this guy anywhere. No one wants him. And they get a phone call, and it's the first phone call, and they're like, yes, deal, signed. Like, we're desperate. Mm-hmm. If you're the second, third, fourth call, it's like, or, oh, I already signed, or now I want more.
Or if you had a relationship with them before the draft. Mm. I mean, it's going to be a pretty tough getting around the fact that I just didn't think you were good enough to draft. It's got to be something else. So you have to already have like that set aside. Hey, man, I understand that, you know, we think you can do good things, but, you know, we have a draft board the way it's set up. And if it comes out to, we're going to want to give you an opportunity to come with us. We think you're going to fit our scheme, and this is why. You have to kind of entice them a little bit to stick around, because if you can't call everybody right away.
I mean, there's always the selling point, but I think, like, undrafted free agents, I think any phone call, they're just like, oh, thank God. Oh, please. I can't do anything. Like,
I got a paycheck coming in. Thank God.
Thank God. I'll take that, you know, $8,000 signing bonus. You know what I mean? That, like, undrafted. I mean,
that's what what was his name? Charlie Weiss was saying this morning. He's like, yeah, we had like a $10,000, sometimes $15,000. I'm like, geez, this is, yeah, those are undrafted free agents, man.
Yeah, man. You're like, you're making like the squad of 90. Like, you're probably, like, we always talk about, like, because the Raiders, credit where credit's due, Gruden and Mayock did pretty good with undrafted free agents. Like, we got like Pro Bowl.
They did better than the first rounders.
Dude, their hit rate with undrafted, like AJ Cole, the fullback, like there's a lot of like starters, Pro Bowlers, like legit dudes, like that they got at undrafted, right? So it's like when you're an undrafted free agent, like the chance of you making the practice squad is less than 50%. Like you're not making anything, but at least you give yourself an opportunity to like show what you got and perform. So if you're getting the like $8,000 signing bonus, you're like, oh God,
take it in and running.
Thank you. Thank you. So we talked a lot about like, we could make a lot of videos on this show and make a lot of great, great conversation and analysis on every draft rumor out there, everything that's spread for whatever reason. But I like being more real than that. Like I like talking about something that I think is true, or at least like this is the basis why I think it's true, or this is the basis for why I think it's false, that kind of thing, as opposed to just every single rumor out there and just kind of like just like running with it. And it's because I've worked in the media for over 20 years, and so I've not that I have some crazy NFL insider, but I know the relationships between a media member and an agent and a GM and a team, and how I scratch you back, your back, you scratch my back. And I can tell by the reporting which reporter is like the team friendly guy who's like almost just taking dictation from the coach, GM, whoever.
Taking what?
Taking some fat dictation, just like really just ramming the dictation down their throat.
Yeah, see, I went too far.
And then the other guy who's, oh, I'm going to write stuff that they don't want to have reported. And you can kind of tell those things more or less. Ian Rappaport was on Front Office Sports, and he was asked about, like, look, during the draft, do teams leak false info about players to affect where they go in the draft? And I was very interested in his answer. Take a listen.
That's, to me, that's sort of like a draft myth, I guess you would say. That's something that people say. I'm not saying it has not happened. There's one example specifically where a team, I would say probably, God, the guy's in his 30s by now, so probably 10 years ago, a team told me that a player had a weakness in his shoulder, hoping that I would say it, hoping that it would, you know, get back to everyone else. Like, you know, does it matter? I personally don't think it matters because teams have all the same information. They have all the same medical information. A lot of teams share medicals. I don't think it matters, but I would not say it never happens. But, you know, probably less than the amount of fingers I have in one hand has it happened to me where a team leaks negative information. You know, if anything, it's almost like they're protective of that information because they don't want to get back to them that they're killing some player.
So a couple of things. Obviously, Rappaport is, you know, heavily influential and reports correct things all the time, but he works for NFL Network. He is definitely like as much silver lining, and every player is great and every signing is amazing and every contract, everybody wins. He's one of those type of guys. He works for NFL Network, like literally like the propaganda arm of the NFL. And again, that doesn't make him bad. He's not like a bad reporter. It's just we are aware of his role and how he performs it, right? So he's painting a very, very rosy light on teams doing something negative or like, you know, like blatantly lying about something negative. But I do like he did make a good point on the last part where a lot of information is very, very universal. Medical reports and stuff like that. Like it's all kind of out there. But he also didn't say what I think the real question was is, Do teams mislead to let other teams not know where they're going, right? Not just straight up like, oh, Drake May has a torn ACL, and they're just blatantly making that up to lie about him. Like, I don't think they do that. But if they say like, oh, we don't like his composure in the pocket, it's like, okay, well, I guess that could be true. Does that mean you wouldn't take him at 15? Or does that mean he went from 2 to 3, or you still like him, right? I think that's more the misinformation that gets out there from teams to media to try to sway where people think they're going.
I think honestly, the what happens more often is teams are really excited about players that they don't really want, just to let other teams kind of like, oh, this guy's really about this guy. He's really about this player. To kind of like, I think that's the okie doke that's played more often than not.
And the like, bringing a guy in for a workout when you're like almost positive you're not going to draft him, but you can't just have, if there's one quarterback you really, really like, you can't just work him out and no one else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, you're kind of
like Washington, bring them all in at the same time.
Yeah. Just have them duke it all out. Or you do just pick up one, like you already know who you're going to get. So you just look at one quarterback that you know you're not going to draft and throw everyone out. And that's my point, right? The idea that like, Rappaport was very specific that no, they don't lie about a player to drop them. It's like, okay, I think that checks out, but you could still be pretty misleading. The other part about this is not just teams that I think do that. It's agents, and they're obviously doing it the other way. Like they're always trying to make their players look better. So Rappaport was asked basically that same question on NFL agents.
They can be helpful. They can tell you where a player is going and what teams are interested. Many, you know, the really good ones who've been doing this for a long time have a sense of where their player is going before the draft. So, you know, sometimes they will tell you if you have, you know, good relationship with them and you really trust them, they will tell you like, hey, here's the window. Or they'll say like, I remember there was a quarterback who I think a lot of people thought was going to the first round and did not end up going. Talked to his agent the day before the draft. And he was literally like, I don't have a spot for him. I'm nervous. And I was like, that's real. And he did not end up going in the first round. It's like agents can be very helpful. It's just important to know that they represent their players. They act in the best interest of their players. So they will always tell you what's going to happen to their players, usually with the best case scenario, right? So, like, I don't think there's a lot of misinformation from agents. I think they are just, they naturally represent their players.
And I think another important thing to acknowledge, too, is not just the agents, but agents through media. Why do you think every single time there's a new contract signed, it's the biggest number first, and then you find out 2 days later what the real details are, right? It's like, oh, he signed for 3 years, $120 million, $60 million guaranteed, that you find out 2 days later, right? Because the agents want that big, huge, sexy number you're never going to get to. That's 2 years of void years and all these incentives you're never going to reach. Because that's what makes him look great, right? That's what makes the agent look like he did the screaming deal, makes the player look super valuable. And the Rappaports of the world are like, okay, like we'll come out with that giant number first to make you look good. And then 36 hours from now, we'll put out the details that of exactly what it is. So going into this draft and this whole draft season, everything, every report you read, look at it through that filter of who looks good, who looks bad, and why. And that's the best way to kind of determine what you think is true and isn't.
So it's really interesting when I heard Rappaport say that agents know where their clients are going to go. And, I mean, that's some information that could be very useful to a team, let's say, that picks a little bit higher, mm-hmm. you know, and you want to be up high as possible, because every spot that you get drafted up higher is more money. So, I mean, I wonder how much that goes on.
I mean, guaranteed an agent will say, you know, like, hey, the Pats want us at three. You know, you're going to have to make, you know, whether that's true or not, that's the game that's being played. Like, that's the game to let that, that's the game. That's the real game that Telesco plays. Like, quarterbacks, like, we know it's like, it's a coin flip, right? Like, you want to get the best guy and you do your research and hope for the best, but history and all the data shows no one is like great at it. Like, everyone's just kind of, there's guys terrible, but it's all kind of whatever. And in fairness to these players, like, in fairness to these GMs, like, you always bring up the good points. Like, well, why scout him at all? It's like, no, that's a great point. It's just that there's so many variables when drafting. Do they jive? And they're not just quarterback. Do they jive with the coach? Do they jive with the city? Is it a schematic fit? Is it going to be a bunch of head coaches and new schemes when they're there for 5 years? Like is it crazy to think that Sean Payton can get a lot better, a lot more to Zach Wilson now that he's in the Broncos? Like, I don't, that's not impossible. Like, it sucked in New York. Like, what a terrible situation Zach Wilson wasn't in a good situation. Now he probably sucks, but isn't crazy to think Sean Payton can get something out of him? All those factors go into it. Like, we blame GMs and scouts and whoever has the draft pick, like the power of the pick. They're 100% to blame if something doesn't work out, and they deserve a chunk of it. But there were so many things out of their hands. So to say, just like, oh, I can't believe no one can get it right, it's like, because no one controls all the factors, and that's a big problem.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I heard another thing by a scout that there's so many people that scout these players, you know, that the local scouts and all this stuff, and they talk to everybody, talk to teammates, the coaches, the ex-teammates, ex-coaches, janitors. Like, how does he treat you guys? How does he treat people in the building? Is he a good dude? Is he a guy that just is about all about himself? Like,
talk to all sorority row. Is he a generous lover? All those important.
Is he a giving lover? It's a lot of info, man. It's a lot of info that goes into these picks because, I mean, out of all the guys, all these Rappaports and Sagers and Mel Kuipers and all these Johnny Come Latelys with all these mock drafts, none of them have had to make a pick that their job depended on. Mm. Those mock drafts don't mean shit. And when you're making a pick that has your job attached to it, it's a big deal. So a lot goes into each one of these picks,
and it changes things, right? Like, we've talked about it before. That why are GMs so willing to, like, bet the house on like cashing on a first round quarterback? Because if they hit, that's job security forever.
Job's pretty for like 5 years at least.
Tom Telesco, forever, his resume gets to say, I drafted Justin Herbert. Like, that is stuck to his resume forever, right? So, like,
he was an assistant with Indianapolis, and he has on there, people are still saying, yeah, he was part of the team that drafted Andrew Luck.
Like, and forever he gets forever to brag about that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And obviously, like, he has a pretty good draft record too, but like, that's like, there's a reason why. Cause if you like, the benefits for the GM of winning far outweigh the detriment of swinging and missing. The fan base, it's opposite. Like, if we give up three drafts worth of capital for a quarterback and it doesn't pan out, like, the fan base is the one that gets hurt. The GM can bounce back from something like that. So you're right. Like, when it's your job, it's not only more important, but also your priorities change, because it's about your job, not making sure RJ and Soto are happy with their team 7 years from now, you know? So that's why I loved other places, and hopefully he's not full of shit, but in the presser, Telesco said, like, look, we obviously we want our rookies to produce right away, but we're drafting because we want these guys for 5 years at least. Like, that's that's the goal, right? Which is what a good GM should do, and one that thinks job security is pretty locked in. Like, you want your GM to be that perfect middle ground where it's like, you want a little bit of edge, like, don't fuck this up because we will fire you, but enough rope to be like, okay, like, you don't have to hit six home runs for just their rookie years. Like, if you think this guy can be something big in 3 years, you have enough leeway to say, look, he's going to struggle the first two seasons, but three and on, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. It's like, okay, we believe in you. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah, don't
get time, out of it again. But not all the time. So with all that said, I'm really looking forward to the segment. We did the truthometer last show on draft rumors.
You love that.
Like, is this a true rumor? Is this a, like, what do we think? A scale of 1 to 5? We're going to go a different way with it. We're going to give you 5 rumors that we wish to be true. Not saying where they are in the truth meter, but we're going to use our power to will them into existence. We were trying to make it happen.
The cool thing is, if any one of these things happen, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, there's some wild ones on here, and we're going from 5 to 1. Number 5, coming from Soto's new favorite.
Oh, I love CTESPN.
CTESPN Network. If you don't know who they are, it's Antonio Brown and some of his boys throwing out news that I think is pretty outlandish. But if it becomes true after draft day, then it's going to be hilarious, because there are some reports that directly conflict with, like, Schefter and Rapoport. Like, they're saying exactly opposite.
The talking heads.
If CTESPN Network, like, gets some one-ups on, like, Schefter, so, oh, my sweet God, it's going to be hilarious.
Ooh.
It's going to be hilarious. Number 5, source, breaking news. Drake May sliding down draft boards as teams are concerned about his poise and ability to play in stressful situations. J.J. McCarthy now looking like number 2 to Washington. Chargers want J.J. If J.J. is picked at 2, New England intends to trade the 3rd pick. This would be great for us.
Oh, yeah.
Because now it's getting quarterbacks not locked into the top 3 and kind of knocking them all down a little bit closer to us.
I like it a lot.
Big one.
It's like, I like it. It's it because can you follow the logic? Sure. You can follow the logic. We've heard a lot of people from a lot of different places give us different pieces of this information in different context, not packaged together like this. Have we heard of Drake May sliding? Yeah, we've heard of that. Have we heard of a lot of people liking J.J. McCarthy a lot more and him shooting up draft boards? Yeah, we've heard about that. Have we heard about New England maybe wanting to flip the pick or being open for business? Yeah, but not in this context. And this kind of, like, brings it all together. That's why it makes sense.
It's a lot of dominoes falling in a row that can. I don't think they will. I think this is all outlandish. Other than, like, Drake May, you know, may slide a little bit, but I don't think New England trades 3. I don't think JJ goes 2. But you see the dots connect if that's the case. I also wonder why would Harbaugh hype up JJ McCarthy so much if he was gonna, we'll get to that later.
For the drama.
Chargers want drama. All right, that's number 5. Number 4, Mike Garofalo.
Well, Ian Rappaport tweeted, while the Commanders and Patriots have received calls from teams attempting to move up for a quarterback, Washington has shown no indication it would move. New England would move for the right offer, but the Pats just haven't gotten such an offer yet. Mike Garofalo said, not surprisingly, the Raiders are among the teams who tested the Commanders on moving out of two. Even after Washington GM Adam Peters told the media the team planned to stick and pick, sources say. So a little less CTE, ESPN-y and outlandish, a little bit more like, well, here's just, makes sense. Sure, like, the, again.
You guys saying the exact opposite thing.
I don't want the Raiders moving to two because I think it's going to cost three firsts and like a max or like just a crazy number. But the Raiders are not doing their jobs if they don't at least call and say, all right, where are you at? What are you thinking? Test the waters a little bit. Like maybe Telesco could kind of hear, like kind of like that's the other part too. If Telesco could kind of like maybe hear an Adam Peters voice, a little bit of desperation maybe, or not. It's like if Peters is like, sounds like he's got his chest out. It's like, I got a guy offering, you know, three firsts and two Pro Bowlers. Like, what are you going to beat me with? He's like, okay, hang that phone up real quick. But if Peters is like, fuck, no one's calling. I can't believe it. Like, it's, you can hear that in his voice. And it's like, oh.
I picture, okay. If that happens, I picture Telesco sitting back like Brad Pitt in Moneyball, munching on popcorn. Just waiting him out.
What's wrong with him? That. Nothing. He's too good. Makes my other players look bad. Do you want him?
No, we don't like him. We don't. He's too good. He's making our players look bad.
Number three. Which NFL team's first round pick could surprise everyone on Thursday? One constant I keep hearing from people I trust. I think this was from. I don't know who wrote this. Someone Mike from ESPN. ESPN. Just put it on ESPN.
Mike Hawk.
One constant I keep hearing from people I trust is that the Raiders really do like Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. and could select him at 13 overall. If we get out of the draft with Penix in nearly any situation, I wouldn't be unhappy. 13 does kind of feel a little high. I think we could get him lower, but do we risk it? Like 13's, I think we'd, is there, we would definitely be able to get him at 13. Are you safe to say 90% chance he's on the board at 13?
I'd say 90% chance we get him at 13. Chance,
I think it's fair to say. There was one, the one mock draft we liked the most was taking like attack, like the, you know, the number one corner or something at 13, trading up out of the second into late first and getting Penix. I think that would be optimal and realistic, but still kind of risky.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, once you're the Raiders and you pick at 13 and it's not Penix, mm-hmm. there's a couple of landmines that are, like, pretty soon after that.
Yeah.
There's the Saints. There's the Rams. There's the Seahawks. There's potentially the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a few teams out there who potentially may have an iffy quarterback situation in a year or two that may just pull the trigger on this. Is it likely? No. Is it possible? Definitely, yes, it's possible. So that's why I wouldn't be super, like, bummed out or whatever if we took – because honestly, if we take Penix at 13 and we end up getting, like, one of the second wave, which are still pretty good, really good tackles at 44. I mean, I'm okay with that because we may not have gotten the top end tackle prospect. He may end up being better. I remember David Bakhtiari got shit on left and right by Mike Mayock because he was a waistbender and he was stiff and this and that. Ends up becoming an all pro, right? Mm-hmm. Goes in the fourth round and ends up becoming an all pro. But you don't have to give up a bunch of stuff and you still get your tackle as who's a good prospect and you get the quarterback that you want. So I'm not going to be like super like shocked or like any, I'm not going to feel any kind of way. I'm just going to feel excited that we pulled the trigger on the quarterback and that we got the guy that we wanted.
That would be playing it very, very safe if we did that, right? Like, well, hey, let's just get Penix at 13, make sure we get him. And then let's be smart in the second round with, you know, a position of need, and there's a lot of them in the draft. Like, it'd be very safe. It'd be very, very safe
Well, think of it this way. Think of it this way. Let's say week 10, Penix wins the job, right? So he's so that means he's better than the two guys that we have that we were comfortable going with going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You got him in the, at 13, so that's a win, yeah. Right? If he ends up starting anytime, even year two, he's better than the guys you had in the building, and you got him at 13.
You'd have to get him at 3. If he pans out, we're set. I mean, like, look, yeah, like, and that's the thing of it, right? Like, if the guy, when the guys pan out, no one says it wasn't worth it. No one goes back and be like, oh man, they could have got him at 23. Well, wait. You know,
let's refine that a little bit because we need to define what pan out means. If pan out is he's a legitimate starting quarterback, a unquestioned starter on your team that gives you an opportunity to win every single week.
Then 13 is fine.
13 is good. I'm good with that. 13 is fine. And I'm not reaching for the stars where he has to be an Allen or Mahomes or one of these guys. He doesn't have to be a permanent or perennial all pro to work out at 13. He just has to be a starting quarterback, a starting player that's capable of winning games, keep you in the game and winning games every single week at the most important position in sports. I'll take that at 13.
If he's a top 20 quarterback. He can even be slightly below average. I think at 13, we're like, okay. Because I think that's still better than Gardner and Favre.
Yeah, I think from what we've seen, those guys are average to maybe slightly below average. Now, can Aiden O'Connell make that jump? Yes. And for all you guys hating, you guys don't know. Look, you guys are wishing on a star right now. You guys are wishing for Aiden O'Connell to be better, significantly better than what he's shown you he is. Right now, I think Michael Penix Jr. is a better thrower of the football than either Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. And I'm not the only person to say, I'm not talking about mobility and that stuff. I'm talking about in the pocket, a better thrower of the ball. So there's a lot more quarterbacking than that. But
I think pure arm, Penix is the best in the draft. Pure arm. Nothing else. Like his deep ball is.
If you grade like touch and arm strength and accuracy, yeah, I think you're right. Actual arm itself, it's just Milton. He's got the fucking best arm. But just
howitzer.
God, dude.
Yeah. Well, but again, like
I heard that when he throws the ball, you hear the freaking whistle, the shh. Like he throws it that tight and that hard, where you just and it's a loud whistle too. I'm like, oh my god, I couldn't even imagine catching that.
That sounds like one of those like old wives' tales about a quarterback that
I don't know, dude. Hear, he throws
like, the something hard. Like Paul Bunyan, but he does, dude. That howitzer is pretty. Insane.
Dude, with no windup, he threw the ball 70 yards at the combine. He didn't like rear into it. He just took a step forward and throw the ball 70 yards down the field. That's crazy.
Number two rumor that we wish we can make into existence. This is where it starts getting fun. Also from Soto's favorite news source, ESPN Network.
ESPN.
Justin Herbert's news. Justin Herbert getting traded to the Vikings so the Chargers can trade and get JJ McCarthy. They screenshotted a text with some more details. AB, Antonio Brown, following up on last text, my source in Minneapolis is saying there's some trouble with Herbert's physical based around his open reduction surgery on his right index finger. My source says there are still some questions about his readiness for OTAs. If this gets confirmed as resolved, the projected trade package includes both of Minnesota's first round picks this year and Christian Darrisaw, and also a conditional second round 2025 pick. So not only if this rumor is true, we're getting Justin Herbert out of the AFC West, but he's also hurt and the Chargers get less compensation for a Pro Bowl quarterback, not even in his prime yet. This would be beautiful.
Oh, if we can get him out of the freaking division, that'd be sweet. And get a rookie to come in who's not been asked to do a lot on a team that's like needing a lot of talent around him, who traded away or released a lot of talent already. Mm-hmm. You know, their number one running back, number one and two receivers are gone. And also, like, you know, they're going to have a solidified offensive line. Darisaw is a really good player. But, man, that'd be pretty sweet to get him out of the division.
This would be great. Number one, and number one by a mile.
With a bullet.
Again, the number one rumor that we have no clue. Like, it's probably not true, but goddamn, if it was. If there's a 1% chance of it being true, and we can just use our juju to push it to 2%, 3%, 5%, 10%, I'll bust out a Ouija board. I'll do some voodoo, like whatever it takes to make this true.
Okay.
Raider Nation, we're going to come together and do it. Do it. Again, CT ESPN Network.
This is such good shit.
Giving us all the news we wish to be true. Source, breaking news. Jaden Daniels has made it clear to the Commanders that if he drafts them, he will pull an Eli Manning. Daniels only wants to play for the Raiders.
Woo! Here's the thing, man. Here's the one thing that makes me feel like this is true. Because every interview since the whole Washington fiasco where everyone came in the same day, he's been making it a point to say, I'd be happy wherever I'm drafted. Mm. And it wasn't in the flow of the conversation. Like, he had to stop his answer. Jaden Daniels, pronouns, pal. Jaden Daniels had to stop what he was saying and say, no, but I'd be happy wherever I'm drafted, whether it's Washington or anywhere else, and then continue his answer. So I think he's been extremely coached on what to say. And as a coachable player, he's listening.
This would be amazing, and that it still doesn't guarantee, again, if this is true and we're trying to make it so, this doesn't guarantee we'd get him. Because Washington could still be like, all right, well, Denver gave us this or New York gave us that, and could still outbid the Raiders for him. But it should, in a wonderful scenario, drastically, we would still have to trade to number two, but it would drastically, ridiculously drop what we'd have to give up for him. Because then Washington's like, man, the news is out that Jaden Daniels is only going to play for the Raiders. His draft value has plummeted, or his trade value has plummeted around the league, because no one wants to give up, you know, three first rounders for a guy who's going to sit out and pull an Eli Manning and say, I don't want to go to San Diego. I want to go to New York. Let's make this happen. And so we swoop up for pennies.
Do you remember Eli holding up the freaking Chargers jersey like this?
Just deadpan.
Oh, God. That's the thing you have to take a look at. You have to take a look at Jaden Daniels' face. If Jaden Daniels gets picked two and he's like this, he's as good as ours, bro. Because I think Telesco's going to be like this. What about a 5-gallon tub of Lane oil and a gross of those glow-in-the-dark condoms for the novelty machine? I mean, those are fun, even men's if you're room. By yourself.
We don't even have a novelty machine in the men's room.
Call this a bowling alley? Bowling alley?
Let us know what movie. And you better know.
One of my favorites. I actually did a paper, sports psychology. I did a paper on this movie. It was freaking just, oh, so sweet.
I did a paper in high school in the movie Dream Team. Do you remember that movie?
No.
It had, it was who was the original Batman? Why am I blanking?
Oh, Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. Bunch of guys, and they're in like an insane asylum.
Oh yeah, I did see that movie.
And they leave, and they're all like kind of messed up in different ways. In my psychology class, I did a report on Dream Team and how all their different psychoses.
Yeah,
great.
Psychosi.
Obviously, I paid a lot of attention to psychology class. Don't even know how to speak it. The other part, obviously, the number one reason that would make this pretty wild draft rumor true is that we would get an amazing quarterback for hopefully pennies than what it would have cost normally. But the other part that would make it cool is that Adam Schefter literally reported the opposite. Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Jaden Daniels, LSU, knows he's entering the draft, not free agency, which is why he is ready to accept wherever he is selected and attempt to become the face of that franchise. If CT ESPN can be like directly conflicting with Schefter and be right. Oh my God.
This is going to be hilarious. Look, if CTESPN is right and Adam Schefter is wrong, that means Schefter is a corporate puppet and you really can't believe anything he says.
Well, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, where it's like he has a role where
he is a media puppet. Mm-hmm. The big thing but when it happened with Eli Manning, the NFL was pissed that ESPN started reporting that, giving weight to Archie talking shit.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't really see Archie Manning like doing interviews, because they didn't want to give him the time of day and to him to put that out there. Mm-hmm. So even if it's true, ESPN doesn't want to have it put out there. Yeah. Like before, when like the draft wasn't a big deal, everybody knew that fucking Elway didn't want to go to the freaking Colts. He didn't want to go to Baltimore. He didn't want to play there. And then we gave him the Denver a better package, and bitch ass fucking what's his face, Roselle freaking canceled it, and he ended up going to Denver. But that was like a known thing. Like even before the freaking month before he doesn't want to go to Baltimore. Yeah. Baltimore's like, fuck you.
Well, obviously that little different because he leveraged baseball and had a different game plan for it. And again, this one that, Schefter's been right a million times before this. So doing this one time doesn't discredit him forever. It more just like CTESPN.
It's like scale to CTESPN, because if you have something in direct contrast, it's like, okay, he was wrong, but why was he wrong? Because either way he was wrong, it's bad look on him. Either he's getting bad information, he's reporting bad info, or he's bullshitting because he doesn't want to push that narrative forward.
But also on the same time too, like CTESPN can't just be get like one right and 10 wrong and be like, look, we're always right. Like all they need is, because like, look, I look at CTESPN as nothing. It's tabloid. I don't believe anything they say, right? Now they can, because that's what's the background, right? What do I have to believe in? You know what I mean? You don't have a foundation for me to like trust in you, right? Schefter's been right a million times. And so it's like, I believe Schefter because that's what history says, right? So if they're right, but even if they're right one out of 10 times and Schefter from the powers that be said, all right, I'm gonna write this, that's still a hilarious, hilarious story that a Twitter page of a clinically insane ex-NFL wide receiver
with a huge fucking dong
that isn't afraid to show it at pools in, where was he, Saudi Arabia?
Dubai or something like that.
And he's able to get at least one scoop on Schefter is hilarious.
So like freaking sweet.
It would be so funny if that'd be so freaking funny, dude.
There's
a line that way. Anything more on the draft before we move on? I really want to get to this Mahomes getting trolled by Raiders. Thing.
Yeah, I'm really excited about, but like more about that the Schefter ECTSPN thing. So let's say, for example, the trade for Herbert doesn't go through. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that it wasn't talked about, and because I mean there's an out already in the story. The mm-hmm. finger, he's going to be ready for training camp, whatever. If that doesn't get squared away, there's the out. The out for, and then that's pretty much the same. It's different. There's a built-in out for that. This is a hard stance. Like, he doesn't want to go. He's told him he doesn't want to go there, and he will pull an Eli Manning if he gets drafted by the Commanders. Mm. And Adam Schefter is saying the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. So it's not just him getting one wrong. It's way more than that. Because it's CTESPN, it's like, well, yeah, the Vikings want to get Herbert, but they're worried about the finger. That's way different than you know, the sky is green and the sky is blue.
Yeah.
Well, who's right and who's wrong?
Right. But again, it goes back to Schefter's been right a million times.
Again, but the thing is, you're not seeing it. You're not looking. It does matter, but it's why he was wrong here.
Yeah. No. I'm with you. Like, I think that would confirm what we kind of already know about Schefter is, you know, he's ESPN broadcast. I think he's look. Every media member has to find that balance somewhere. If you piss off everybody, you eliminate all your sources, and it's a different kind of role. Like, you're very, very small audience. And again, there's roles for those guys. Like, those guys are important. Those guys I also listen to. And then you've got, you know, Schefter, who has to balance a million things at one time. I can't piss off my boss at ESPN too much. I can't piss off the NFL too much. I can't piss off this player too much. I can't piss off this agent too much. Piss off this GM and this coach, because Schefter does it right. Like, there's certain guys that, like, I'm not going to name names, but like, there's certain journalists that are like purely in bed with players, and you can kind of tell. There's journalists that are purely in bed with teams, and you can kind of tell. Schefter does it right, where he'll go to the GM of the Colts and be like, "Hey, I heard this about your player. What do you have?" And you do a fair cheer, and he's an information broker. That's what he does. He's an information broker. He's like, it's not genuinely like,
yeah, like
in
I,
bed.
I agree with you. Like, I definitely
so this,
do.
And
believe-
this would expose how that happens sometimes. His boss, the broadcast partner of the NFL, is kind of like, look, we don't want players being able to pick where they go in this draft. So, and like you said, Jaden Daniels has said very publicly, I'm going to go wherever they draft me. So, and he's just repeating what Jaden Daniels said, which is it's a true fact. Like, Adam Schefter is reporting what Jaden Daniels said. That is true.
And there's a way for Schefter to get out of this too, because after it happens, let's say it happens. Praise God. Let's say it happens. And we end up getting Daniels, and it happens.
If it happens, I'm going back to church on Sunday for the first time in 20 years.
You will never go back to church. Okay. So
if we got Jaden Daniels to say, give the double bird to the other 31 teams, and we get him for like a first, or like, all right, we'll give you our first and our second, and we want Jaden Daniels. Like, I will go, mark my words, Soto, I will broadcast live from the Mormon church on Heil and Bolsa Chica. In my white shirt and tie, and praise
your
God.
Same white shirt from your mission.
Praise God that we got Jaden Daniels.
How about this? It happens, but it happens in the sweetest way possible, where Washington does draft Jaden Daniels, and then they have to trade him afterwards. That is the sweetest ever.
That's the best case scenario.
Best case scenario, and then Schefter can say, "Hey, you know what? He was telling us that he was willing to go to other to any team, but ultimately he didn't want to play in Washington." So that's his way to kind of back off what he said.
And our barrier to entry is different, because I believe CTE ESPN Network has like zero credibility because they haven't shown it yet. Where I think you kind of give them a little bit more. So like if they even get that one thing even kind of right, and everything,
if any one wrong, of these things comes out to be true, I'm like, all right.
Well, I mean, a lot of people have said Drake May is sliding down draft boards. So that's been reported by a lot of people, right? So that's where do you put
the
that,
only thing
right?
that I've heard consistently is that JJ has jumped May for three, but that doesn't mean that he's sliding down draft boards.
I've seen a couple of several places, two or three like reports, like he's sliding down draft boards, and some mock drafts have dropped him. But they're throwing all their chips in the center that Jaden Daniels is going to say, "I'm not playing for Washington. I'm only playing for the Raiders." That's when all of CTE ESPN Network's chips are in the center, and they're saying, "All right, all in. I got pocket aces, bitches. I got the story, and Schefter don't.
I got the bullets.
It's not going to happen, but goddamn if it did."
You can't say that. You can't say that. It is possible. It's not probable, but it's possible.
It would be wild if Jaden Daniels, of all players, could pull what basically only two quarterbacks have been able to pull. Eli Manning, who is like an institution
that we know of,
I think that story would get out if a player plays hardball.
You don't know that.
Another one who's like, you know, an amazing player and leveraged baseball was able to do it. And then Eli Manning, who's an institution. And then Jaden Daniels is just kind of like, I just like the coach of the Raiders. So take it or leave it. Like that would be the biggest story, right? The CTESPN would be number two. Number one would be Jaden Daniels found a way out, because that would change the draft forever. If Jaden Daniels, so unless he's got some leverage you don't know about, right? Like, unless there's something going on.
She got a sex tape on Magic or something.
Right? Roger Goodell's got a sex tape on Roger Goodell.
Maybe it's Magic and Roger Goodell. Who knows?
Unless there's some kind of crazy magical leverage about that Jaden Daniels has we don't know about, this would be forever NFL franchise changing moves, right? Like, this doesn't happen. Like, players don't have this power. In the NFL, this isn't the NBA. This is the NFL, where the owners in the league have all the power. If he could pull this off, obviously, it'd be amazing for us. But it would change football for
it. It'd be crazy because look, the landscape is already changing, man. You know, if you have certain grades, you can transfer with no penalty anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. In college, they're getting paid now. It's not like, oh, you're going to lose so much money. I already got money, bro. I made a bunch of money already. Like, I'm not dirt poor. Like, I got money. I got money in the bank. Shorty, what you drank? Mm. So it's like the whole like, oh, well, you're not going to get paid for this year. It's not a huge deal. It's not a huge deal for them. It's not as big as it was before.
And it's just purely economic, like you said, and also just like players. They can also just like feel that power too more, right? They're like, I'm going to do what I want. I've been treated. I'm a multimillionaire. I'm a sophomore in college and I'm a multimillionaire because of NIL. And I've had people kiss my ass and the coach now kiss. We've heard SEC coaches talk about this forever, that you used to be able to be a hard ass and coach guys how you wanted. Now they're just like, you're going to yell at me. I'm transfer portal later, bitches. Like, you have to suck my dick now.
When Saban couldn't control players, he's like, I'm out.
Yep. He's just like, look, I don't want to coach this way anymore. And so, like, players are going to start feeling that way. Like, it's not going to be yes sir, no sir, jump you how high, because these players are going to come into the NFL after three seasons of getting their way with the coaches, getting their way with boosters. They're going to be, since 18 years old, they're going to be these walking, living, breathing commodities and institutions that they weren't,
before. But above all else, they got to produce on the field. Mm-hmm. If you don't produce on the field, your word means shit.
Yeah.
So there's that dichotomy, right? It's like, yeah, there's more power to the player, but it's more production based than it was before. It's like these schools are going to be like, hey, you know, I'm going to stick with you because of X, Y, Z. Like, no, dude, if you're going to be this, if you're going to bitch, you're going to complain, you're going to get paid, you got to perform.
Well, because now it's boosters make that decision.
Yeah.
On who stays and who goes a little bit more, right? Like, now it's just like, he can't, like, oh, the coach loves me, so he's going to find a spot for me. It's like, well, you can stay, but
you ain't going to pay shit.
Yeah, you're throw your paper out. I heard McDonald's is hiring. All right. I love this story.
So sweet.
I love Raider Nation and being a part of it. Like, all the pain of the last 20 years, to be a part of this nation is great. Patrick Mahomes and his wife were in Cabo San Lucas, and TMZ found this footage of Raider Nation letting Patrick Mahomes on vacation know exactly where he's at.
Hey, let's go to the Raiders.
Your mom's a hater.
I love it for so many reasons. One, this is heckling I can absolutely get behind. They weren't swearing, throwing things at him, you know, like personal insults. It's just like, hey, you know, the last team that beat you, you know, like when the Raiders went into Arrowhead and
stick it in you
with a big silver and black dildo, like, because we remember, and I know you remember.
Tell them.
And we're not going to let you forget Patrick Mahomes. So we're just going to chant Raiders, and we're going to let all those thoughts germinate in your head by itself. We're just going to chant Raiders, and you're going to remember it. And she is fair game because she has gone public.
She's a public figure.
She's made herself a public figure. So you're allowed to chant Raiders at Brittany Mahomes.
Dude, they showed her more than they showed Andy Reid in the press box. And she was on a TV show, Netflix show. She's a public figure. But did you notice? I don't know if you could play it again, but at the very end, when they're walking away, he's leaning into her like, just shut up. Don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut.
Don't give him more ammo.
Mahomes is cool about it. Mahomes is cool about it. He freaking points to everybody like, yeah, I hear you. And he's like, don't say anything. Don't turn around. Because he knows Raider Nation will fuck that ass up. Mm-hmm. Here, if we can play that shit again, can you play it again?
Hey, let's go to the Raiders.
Okay, watch this. Right here. Hey, don't say nothing. So sweet.
Also, you got to know if you're Patrick Mahomes that Mexico belongs to Raider Nation.
Like, you got to watch out.
That's where the Raiders are. Ready to do some water windbags?
Yes, sir.
All right. MacBHD1, thank you so much for being a member. Very much appreciated.
The very first member.
Not the last member, like my jacket. First member. Thankfully, a titty mention at long last. Regardless of if we draft a quarterback, Farva will start. Nice backdrop, Soto. RJ, stop wearing your kid's romper suit. Please show the Soto meltdown clip. Talk about a climactic ending. LOL. Great show, guys. Loved it so much. I bought the t-shirt. So we do have merch. We're terrible at advertising it. We are the worst t-shirt salesman on earth. If you want to support, we're down there. Get a mug, get a shirt. We have an apron, all kinds of shit.
All kinds of stuff.
So the white long sleeve that I wore last week, that was actually, I thought it was another shirt. But it was the shirt I wore for my Halloween costume when Vicky and I were Antonio Banderas and Salma Hayek from Desperado. So it's just like the white kind of like loose long sleeve with the three buttons. I thought it was another shirt, but it was like a Halloween costume shirt.
This freaking guy.
I don't know. Let me know which the Soto meltdown clip. Do you know what he's talking about?
No, I don't know. I've melted down so many times.
The only one that I've played often was the Derek Carr one.
I'm not saying anything. Derek Carr can come and I will suck his dick.
That's the only one I've played before.
That's probably the only one.
I think that's the only one. It's been a while. That hasn't gotten played in a long time.
You see what Derek Carr did to me?
Oh, he broke you. You go into the comment section. Sometimes, like, you're pretty good about getting in there, but anytime Derek Carr is mentioned, you're there in like a split second. Like, to this day, like, he's just still, like, you can't say DC without steam coming out of your ears.
Oh, I don't care anymore. I'm fine with him now. He's someone else's problem, but, yeah. Back then, when he was on our team, oh, my God, dude.
Suave Kins. Sweet name. AOC arm. Greater than Gardner Minshew arm. After seeing last year with Jimmy G, no pie throwers. Ooh, four greater than symbols? Hey, Farva's arm to Gardner Minshew's arm? I don't know about that.
No.
I don't know about that. Minshew is a gunslinger. Like, he'll just be like, all right, I'm going to put it here now. And it might work and might not. AOC's got, like, a little bit more touch, but.
If you haven't seen Minshew on the Rush podcast, you need to go. You guys will fall in love with Gardner Minshew as a person. Because he is exactly what it fits to be a Raider. Exactly.
Every single guy says their podcast is like, hey, it's just us boys shooting the shit, like we're at a bar, saying whatever we want. And it's never true. It's always a guarded conversation. It's always like, oh, I know people are listening. Make sure I don't say anything too wrong. Not Gardner. He's talking about how, like, Leach was trying to get him.
Uncle Rico and shit.
how Mike Leach was trying to get him in three ways and just like, oh, I was getting hammered with this celebrity. Like, he's just like, and he's just not, and he's not being TMZ-y. Like, he's not trying to be clicky. He's just like, oh, you asked. I want to tell you a cool story about Mike Leach. Here's the cool story. Awesome.
Yeah, he's
you're right. It is. I didn't know what to pull for the show, and it's draft week, so I was like, yeah, I don't want to like force something. Just watch it. Everyone do yourself. If you guys aren't subscribed to the Rush podcast already, shame on you. Two, the first thing you should watch is Gardner Minshew's episode. It was awesome. It's well worth your time. The second this is over, go to the Rush podcast and watch. Raider 1961. Oh, by the way, I'm so glad you guys don't come off at the starting of the show and go, oh, this is your boy RJ or your boy Soto. Because in prison, when you say you're someone's boy, yeah, you're someone's boy. I can't stand it when I hear podcasters use that phrase. Makes me think they're pickle suckers. That quote came from prison, and that was 35 years ago. That's why I've never worn an NFL football jersey with another man's name on my back. I just would feel funny about that. That's kind of weird for me.
Bro, it's a different era, and I love it.
I've never been to prison, but it's also like context matters. Like if you say, hey, Soto's my boy in prison, I can see where you're coming from. If I'm...
It's like, hey, man, you give me this pack of cigarettes and I'll have RJ clean yourself for you. You know, he's my boy. That's a different connotation, yeah.
Context
you know is king on that. Yeah.
All dude. Right.
Fucking that's it for us. That was so pickle good.
I love our windbags.
Gotta love boomers, bro.
I love our love listeners. Them.
If he was born in 1961, he's a boomer, and that's freaking like, woo!
That's it for us. Again, live show Thursday for the drafts. I'll be landing in Vegas like 5 o'clock Pacific. The broadcast, I think, starts 5:15. So the first pick will probably be 5:30, 5:35. ESPN's going to like fluff it up as much as they can before they actually do that. Soto will be on at the start of the broadcast. I will join when I can. And that's why we kept like it kind of light today, because we're going to have a lot. We wanted to save, you know, it could be an hour or more for the Raiders to do anything potentially, or even more if they trade down. Right. So we want to make sure we got stuff to get to. But Thursday, it's here, baby. I used to think the draft was the most overrated element of the NFL offseason. It's grown on me. It's grown on me over time. It's become more fun to cover before it was just like, all right, who are the Raiders picking and where are like my favorite players for my college teams going, you know, like where are the Bruins going? Where are the Cougars going? And then that's all I really cared about.
I didn't care about where the Cougars are going.
You always care. They're going to, now they're going to Denver. That's where Zach's going.
Dude. Hey, hide your moms, hide your aunts.
Zach Wilson's in town. He's prowling.
Wolf hunters in town.
But yeah, draft's gotten a lot more fun. And it also means that we're one more step closer to the regular season. And it's Tom Telesco's first draft for a Raider, and technically Antonio Pierce's too. So this is a good chance to kind of see how that dynamic goes, how Telesco responds to moves being made. There's a lot of immediate repercussions for the Raiders this weekend, and also kind of like, okay, this is what this new regime is about. This is how they behave. It didn't take us long to know how Gruden and Mayock drafted. It did not take long at all to know how they rolled. Here's hoping we found out right away that Telesco and AP are the other way. Fantastic at this old draft.
Yes.
Until then, which is just one day away, knock on wood if you're with me.